In a few minutes, we'll explain why things are looking up this morning in Detroit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Oil prices fell to new lows today after the oil producers cartel OPEC forecast that demand just won't be there in the coming year for all the fossil fuel its members plan to pump. Using the Texas benchmark, crude fell another 2.6% in early trading to just over $62 a barrel. And some market analysts say this is the reason share prices were slumping in early trading. David Kelly is chief global strategist at J.P. Morgan. Morgan Funds. Good morning, Dr. Kelly.
Morning.
Kind of a strange logic there, right? Low oil prices, I thought, were supposed to boost the economy. In theory, that could help profits and help stocks.
Yeah, I think they eventually will. The problem is that when oil prices fall, you know it's obviously bad for oil-producing companies. The good that it does to the economy is it puts more money into consumers' pockets. And if they spend that money in other stuff, that helps the economy grow and that helps the stock market overall. But that takes a little bit of time. And so I think there's sort of a delayed reaction, which I think will ultimately be a positive reaction for the U.S. stock market.
And, right, David, we wouldn't scold any consumer who wanted to just save the extra money they're not spending on gasoline, because savings are good, too.
I mean, right now, we do need a little bit more consumer spending. The problem is that central banks have been lowering interest rates, which tends to promote investment. But what the world is really missing right now is consumer demand. Personally, I think that lower oil prices will actually do more for the global economy than all the activities of central banks with quantitative easing. So right now, I prefer people spend a little bit more money, and I think with lower gas prices, that they will.
And we'll know more about retail spending in the United States tomorrow. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has just given the okay to end the city of Detroit's emergency status. This represents a milestone in that city's efforts to move out of its financial crisis and positions Detroit to officially emerge from bankruptcy as early as this week. Marketplace's Adam Allington is following this from Michigan.
In a statement, Governor Snyder says he's satisfied Detroit is on sound financial footing. Its service delivery is improving and the crime rate is down. The overall improvement, he says, supports an end to the city's emergency status. Detroit's emergency manager, Kevin Orr, took control of the city's finances roughly a year and a half ago. Orr now says his work is nearly finished, marking an end to the largest Chapter 9 bankruptcy case in the history of the country. Going forward, a so-called plan of adjustment spells out the elimination of $7 billion in city debt through bankruptcy. It also calls for a restructuring of the city's retiree pension and health care plans. Detroit's unemployment rate is still among the highest in the nation, but conditions are improving. A bevy of new development projects are moving forward, and downtown rents are steadily rising.
Marketplace's Adam Allington in Michigan. Last month, a diverse group of foundations announced an unprecedented deal to put up charity dollars to help save the pensions of some municipal retirees in Detroit and allow the Detroit Institute of Arts to keep its famous collection of sculpture and paintings. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Eastern Congo in Central Africa was once a leading candidate for worst place on earth: war, child soldiers, rape, refugees. But cautiously, the region has entered a period of reconstruction. One lifeline over the years has been the U.S. dollar, which has operated in the area as a kind of alternative currency. But as Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, the country is now trying to wring those dollars out of its economy.
The U.S. dollar is one of the many scars Congo bears. Its own currency, the franc, fell apart as the country was plunged into 20 years of fighting, starting in the early 90s when Rwanda's genocide spilled across the border.
We had hyperinflation in Congo, which was running at thousands of percent.
Mwanza Singoma is head of Eastern Congo's Chamber of Commerce. Inflation got so bad, groceries would double in price every 25 days. The government decided it had to let in the dollar.
And the only haven that the companies had was to operate in foreign currency. That was the only way they could protect themselves against inflation.
The U.S. dollar saved the bank accounts and mattress cash piles of innumerable Congolese from evaporating. To this day, 90% of Congolese savings are in dollars. There was, of course, one small problem.
The Congolese Central Bank cannot issue dollars.
That is Arsène Tambuka Amani. He's head of TMB, one of the major banks here. As time moved on, the dollars didn't. The Federal Reserve doesn't operate in Congo, so there was nobody replacing old dollars. They got older and dirtier. By 2008, some U.S. dollars in circulation were so fouled, they were practically jet black. It was hard to see if they were actually dollars at all.
Actually, the worn-out dollars lose value. They're cheaper than the new dollars.
Isoko Akambeli is a money trader. He stands on street corners with fat stacks of Congolese francs and U.S. dollars, willing to trade with any car that pulls up. These days, many of his bills are sparkling, crisp, and new.
Now we can find new dollar bills. It's easier.
In some ways, that is a good sign. It means trade is bringing in new dollars. But to get those dollars into the country, the Congolese have to pay. Congolese banks pay to literally fly plane loads of dollars in from accounts in the U.S. that they've accumulated from investments or exports.
We have to. All the banks in Congo have to do this.
That's Tambuka, the banker, again. He says banks pass on those costs, and there are no U.S. coins here, too expensive to ship, so a price tag that should read $1.50 gets rounded up to $2. But the biggest problem is that the Congolese government can't control its country's money supply.
It's not your money, so you have to cope with the monetary policy of another country.
The Congolese government is trying to slowly reassert the franc and keep inflation under control. And peace, as intermittent as it has been, has gone a long way to improving people's confidence. But a dollar-free Congo is still a long way off. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
All of our Eastern Congo coverage this week, including a conversation with a former child soldier turned chef, is accumulating at Marketplace.org. I also talked to movie star Ben Affleck about his NGO work in the region. There's a Marketplace app with our reporting as well. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.